Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, May 22nd, 2011.
This morning, I want us to consider some practical steps about what it actually means to hear and to surrender to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Last week, I spoke about being led by the Holy Spirit and how essential it is for Christians today to walk in the Spirit or to be led by the Spirit. But when we use terms like that we use often, we need to understand, okay, but what does that mean when I get up and go to work tomorrow? When I go to school? When I deal with my family? What does it actually mean to be led by the Spirit? I mentioned last week that walking in the Spirit doesn't mean you walk around in a trance saying hallelujah, praise the Lord, and talking in tongues. That's not what it means to walk in the Spirit. And so to be led by the Spirit, we have to understand that there must be a communication from the Holy Spirit. So what we need to understand is, how exactly does the Holy Spirit communicate to us in a very real way in this church age, in this modern world in which we live? In the natural, if someone's going to lead you, they have to communicate to you somehow. We had some illustrations and analogies last week that were a part of that. But there are many ways that you can communicate to someone to give them instruction, to lead them to a certain place. You can give them a map, you can give them a phone call, or you can simply have someone walk in front of you and say, hey, follow me. So there are many ways, but there must be some kind of communication. So how does the Holy Spirit communicate to us? But I guess before we can answer that question, we have to ask another question. Where's He leading us? Why is it important for us to be led by the Spirit? Where is He taking us? And the essential answer to that question is this: the Holy Spirit will lead you into the will of God. What God wants you to be doing now and what He wants you to enter into in eternity, it's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to get you there. And you don't know the way. And guess what? I don't either. None of us know exactly what God wants us to be doing or how to be doing it in and of ourselves. That's why the Holy Spirit came. We mentioned that ultimate destiny that He wants for all of His children, and that is that we sit in the throne with Jesus Christ to rule and reign with Him as a joint equal heir. But the bride must make herself ready to be in that position. The only problem is we don't know how to get ready. It is the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to teach you how to get ready. To know what you're supposed to be doing today in every relationship, in every responsibility, as you prepare for eternity. And so that's where He's going to lead you. He's going to lead you into to the will of God that will lead to the throne of Jesus Christ. That's where He's leading you. How does He do that? We read over and over in the book of Revelation, He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. How do we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Have you heard someone use the phrase, well, I felt led to do this? Or the Lord spoke to me? What do they mean by that? Is that really how God works? Does God really speak to His people today, and how does He do it? Let's begin in John 16. Those answers can only be found in Scripture. There are a lot of people that have written a lot of books on how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. The only books that are worth reading are those who point you to Scripture. And there are good books. We've got many good tracts out there, but the value of those tracts out there are not because of someone's name on those tracts. It's as they point you to Scripture and say, believe the Word of God. Then those things have value. But someone who just gives their opinion about how the Holy Spirit speaks or why, that's not worth anything. But in John 16, Jesus Himself tells us that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to believers in this church age. In John 16, beginning at verse 7, we'll read through 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Jesus talking to his inner circle, those close disciples. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Jesus says here in this passage that the Spirit was sent to us, and he came on the day of Pentecost to the church. He was sent to help us understand and obey the will of God. And Jesus tells his disciples a rather odd thing. Jesus told his disciples it was advantageous to them that he go away. Now that's kind of hard to figure. We're talking about the Son of God in their midst, teaching them day in and day out. Why was it advantageous to them? Why was it to their benefit that Jesus leave them? And he says, in order that the Holy Spirit would come. There are two clear ways that was beneficial not only to the disciples, but to the whole human race. It was necessary that Jesus die, and then that he ascend to the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. Our salvation was necessary, and it could only be done by Jesus laying down his life, and then by being raised from the dead, and by daily interceding for us. So that's one way that it was necessary. But it was also advantageous for the Spirit of God to be sent to be in every believer at the same time. Jesus in his earthly body was limited to one place at any one time, as far as that physical body was concerned. As a spirit, the Holy Spirit can be in every place at all times. Jesus, when he was with the disciples, whenever he was with them, he could correct them. He could encourage them whenever they needed. He could teach them. But it was just with those disciples at that time. But with the coming of the Holy Spirit, he's with every believer all around the world. We're not left alone. There is no believer left alone to himself or herself because the Spirit was sent. The Spirit's coming is twofold, Jesus says in this passage. He comes first to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. In other words, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict the unsaved that they are sinners and that they need a Savior, that they are worthy of the wrath of God. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He also convicts them of righteousness, pointing to the right way to God, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. But he also reveals the reality of the judgment of God on all those who reject the grace of God. So that's the Holy Spirit's ministry to the world. But to the church, the Holy Spirit was sent as a helper, as one who was sent alongside. There are many different translations of this one Greek word that's translated here, helper, simply because the multifaceted ministry of the Holy Spirit can't be described in just one word. And so the word helper here, it means one who comforts, one who is an advocate, one who is sent alongside to help you, to assist you. When you stop and think about, we're talking about the third person of the Godhead. we get so easily distracted and so easily discouraged in our walk in this life. Sometimes we get overwhelmed by the trials and the difficulties and the things that are so unpleasant in life, and we forget we have a helper. He is the Holy Spirit. He is with us and He is in us. And the measure to which we yield to Him will determine our success in doing the will of God and enjoying the benefits of godly living. How does He communicate that help? There are several ways that we find in Scripture that He communicates to us. But He does communicate. Jesus said in John 16:13, that whatever the Spirit hears from Jesus to tell the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit will speak. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. Many Christians do not even think about trying to recognize the voice of the Spirit. There are many that are well-intentioned and want to be good Christians. And there are many others that don't even go that far. But there are sincere Christians that really want to be good Christians, and yet they do not have an understanding that that can only take place as you learn to hear and surrender to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so they've never learned to recognize that voice, how He speaks, how He communicates. So the first thing, if you're struggling with how to be the Christian that you know that God wants you to be, the first thing is say, God, I want to learn to recognize the voice of the Spirit. I have to know what He's saying and where He's leading me. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 16. Notice how essential the communication of the Spirit is to you. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know what Paul's saying here? He says it's not about the delivery. I'm not here to try to impress you with how I can entertain you with my voice. I'm not here to try to impress you with what I know. The only thing I care that you know about me is that I know Jesus. And that you can know Him too. As the one who died for your sins. I was with you in weakness, verse 3 says, in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed those very things to whom? To us. How did He reveal that to us? How did He communicate what God has done for us? Through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How do we have that mind? By the communication of the Holy Spirit, who reveals the will and the purpose of God. The first thing after salvation the Spirit needs to communicate to us, our privilege as well as our responsibility as the children of God. He needs to reveal to us why Christ saved us, not just to save us from hell, but why we are still left here on this earth for a time, and what He's prepared for us when we get home to heaven. The Holy Spirit has to reveal that to us. But then it's the Spirit's responsibility also to reveal to us how we deal with everything between now and then. 2 Peter 1. Okay, so let's get to hearing His voice, learning to recognize how He's going to teach us, how He's going to lead us and communicate the will of God. You have to start here, 2 Peter 1:21. 2 Peter 1:21. I'm going to let you get there because I want you to see it. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by whom? By the Holy Spirit. It is impossible for the Christian to be led by the Spirit if you do not have an understanding of the Word of God. You have to start here with the book that He wrote. This is a communication from the Holy Spirit, the Bible, the Word of God. Brother Bruce in Sunday school is giving a series on the importance and the value of the Word of God. You can't be led by the Spirit if you don't know what He's saying. You can't know what he is saying. You will never recognize the voice of the Spirit if you don't know what He's already said in the Word. When you read something in the Bible, or when you hear it taught by gifted men and women, it should be as if God Himself is standing before you saying those words. I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm not talking about all the comments or all the other personal things. But I'm talking about the Word of God. When it is declared, when you read it, it should be as if the Holy Spirit Himself is speaking to you. I've known Christians that said, if God would stand in front of me and audibly say these things, then I would obey. And the reality is they still wouldn't. Because God has said this is His Word. The Holy Spirit says, I've inspired this. We need to obey it as if it carries all the authority of God, because it does. 2 Timothy 2. So, if you want to know the will of God that's going to lead to His best in this life and in eternity, you have to determine something. And this is why there are so many weak, carnal Christians. Because they have no appetite to study the Bible. And this is the only thing that will prepare you for life and for eternity. And this as a congregation, this as an assembly, this me as a pastor, this is all that I have to offer you. And when I say that, what am I saying? That's all I have? It's everything I need. It's everything you need. It will supply all the other issues. And we have many needs as creatures, as human beings. There are many needs. But they are all satisfied and fulfilled through the Word of God and surrender to the will of God. 2 Timothy 2:14. Remind them of these things. That's what I'm doing here this morning. Nothing new here for many of you. Remind them of these things. Charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. All the petty arguments and disagreements. But instead of that, be diligent. Dedicate yourself to present yourself approved to God. He's writing to Christians. We're not talking about being accepted as a child of God. That's already taken place. We're talking about being a worker, a servant, an ambassador whose actions and life and choices are pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. As we learn to diligently seek the word of God, study it, understand it, learn to divide it as God divides it, to understand to whom God is speaking and why and how that applies to us in this church age, as we begin to do that, we will learn to recognize the voice of the Spirit who speaks through the word of God. That's the first place you start. Have you ever been reading the Bible and all of a sudden there's just some clarity and understanding or comfort or maybe even correction about something that applies to your situation right then and there? Have you ever read the Word of God and it's like, it's almost as literally a light bulb goes on and there's such clarity? Oh! You know what that is? Do you know who that is? That's the voice of the Holy Spirit. He will speak to you through the Word of God. He will take from the will of God and reveal it to you. When a passage you're reading suddenly has clear relevance to your present circumstance or situation, that's the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's real. It's necessary. But do you see how many of God's people never hear that voice? Because they never take time to study the Word of God. You know, that's the preacher's job. I'll come and listen every now and then. But, you know, the Bible's really not all that exciting. That's because you've not learned to recognize the voice of the Spirit yet. There's nothing more exciting than being led by the Spirit. There's nothing more satisfying and fulfilling. This is the problem with so many Pentecostals and charismatics who try to hear the voice of the Spirit primarily through the gifts of the Holy Spirit or through experiences or through feelings or through emotions without ever first having been rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And so they say the Spirit says this, the Spirit says that. The only problem is what they say the Spirit is saying, the Spirit in the Word of God has already said, no, that's not the will of God. Just like this last example we had of late of Jesus coming at a certain date. The Holy Spirit told them that. Well, I'm sorry, the Holy Spirit told me, we don't know. And you know how I heard that from the Spirit? I read it in the Word of God that He inspired. And so all of the many doctrinal and behavioral errors that we see among so many Pentecostals and charismatics is because they didn't listen to the voice of the Spirit in the Word of God first. That's where you start. But as you learn to study the Word of God, apply it to your life, follow His leading, His instruction, as you begin to let that Word of God transform your life, then you're going to learn to recognize the voice of the Spirit in other very personal ways to give you direction. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Because there are many things and decisions in life that simply aren't spelled out in the Bible. I can't quote you chapter and verse where the Holy Spirit told me to marry Christy. It just doesn't say, and Doug shall marry Christy, as my grandson would say, in the 1900s. Grandpa, is that back in the 1900s? Yes, back in the 1900s. The Holy Spirit didn't tell me in the Bible to marry my wife. But I'll guarantee you, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit because I sought Him. And because I had already paid attention to His instructions about not being unequally yoked, Because I already understood the criteria that the Holy Spirit laid out for me in the Word of God, I was able to recognize the voice of the Spirit when He said, "That's the one." And it wasn't an audible voice. I have never heard an audible voice. But I have heard as strong as if it was audible in my spirit to know that this is the will of God. You can have that personal leading. You need to have it. You start with the Word of God so you know, oh yeah, I've heard that voice before. It's here. And if you hear other voices that contradict what's in the Word of God, you can immediately say, oh, no, no, no. I'm not going for that invitation. I reject that. Romans 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God, always. Now the context of this passage is the suffering of believers in this life as they await for the coming of the Lord. You read the context when you have a chance, and that's the context. The intense suffering of believers as they wait for the coming of the Lord. And if we as believers are going to remain faithful till Jesus comes, we need to know and obey the will of God in every circumstance, in every situation, in every trial, in every hardship. We need to get quiet in the presence of God and say, God, what is your will? Not my will, not God, this is how I want it to end. God, this is what I want you to do. God, this is what I want everybody else to do. It's God, not my will, but yours. But God, I don't know what that is. Anybody been in that situation? Well, if you're still breathing, you've been there. We have many weaknesses that keep us from knowing and obeying God's will. With our natural abilities and intellect, we can't know the will of God. But the Spirit helps our weaknesses. And one way He does that is with the interceding for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The meaning is not real clear in the English. What does that mean, groanings which cannot be uttered? In the Greek, it becomes a little more clear as we look at the meanings. The word groanings, it simply means to sigh. To sigh. One of the definitions of the root that's used here actually means to pray inaudibly. Inaudibly. The phrase cannot be uttered. It means unspeakable or simply unspoken. God the Father, who searches our hearts, He knows the Spirit's mind. And the Spirit was sent to help us walk in the will of God. I'm glad that the Spirit is with me. I'm glad that He's in me. And the Spirit communicates to the Father. You have to come to this place. Is it your desire in every situation in your life, in every circumstance, do you want the will of God? And saints, if you don't come to that place on a daily basis, then none of this is of any importance to you whatsoever. But as a child of God, you should wake up every morning, God, I want your will in my life. I want your will to be worked in me and through me for your glory till Jesus comes. And if that is your desire, the Holy Spirit knows that. And the Holy Spirit will communicate that to the Father, even when you don't know how to pray. I'm glad for that ministry of the Holy Spirit, aren't you? He's constantly working on my behalf. But I also believe that a part of the intercession of the Holy Spirit on my behalf and your behalf is with those same groanings that cannot be uttered, to speak to my heart and my mind to know the will of God. Have you ever been at work or maybe praying, and all of a sudden someone comes to your heart and to your mind that you're to pray for. You don't know why, and you weren't previously thinking about them. They weren't on your mind, but all of a sudden, it's, you know, I need to pray for so-and-so. Anybody had that experience? You know who that is? That's the Holy Spirit. I believe it's that inaudible groaning, that unspoken thought that will lead you into the will of God. There are inaudible, but yet undeniable personal leadings. You can describe them as thoughts, impulses, yearnings, urges, leadings. But I believe that that's part of what Paul is referring to when he talks about these groanings which cannot be uttered. Those kinds of leadings, personal, will never contradict the Word of God. I've had people tell me, the Holy Spirit led me to have this adulterous relationship because we really love one another. I said, no, that wasn't the Spirit. Oh, but it feels so right. I don't care. I know the voice of the Spirit, and He wouldn't talk like that. He wouldn't tell you that. There are things that come to our heart and mind that simply contradict the Scripture. And we must reject them as not being the voice of the Holy Spirit. But when these yearnings, these groanings, these revelations, these leadings come to us, they will always be accompanied with the peace of God. They will always lead us to bring Him glory. And if they do not, it's because we've missed the voice of the Holy Spirit. We have to be careful. We don't need to pretend that every decision we make in life is by the leading of the Holy Spirit. I try not to use that phrase very often at all unless I have spent time seeking the will of the Lord. You don't need the leading of the Holy Spirit for every decision. That's why He gives you His Word. That's why He gives you a brain. I wasn't led to wear this shirt this morning. I did that all by myself, but then you could tell that. I didn't need to be led by the Holy Spirit for that. But those decisions that set the direction of your life, saints, you must learn to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. I've always sought the leading of the Holy Spirit for major decisions in my life, and saints, I have no regrets whatsoever. Does it mean that there weren't difficulties along the way when you make those decisions? We have an enemy, and I guarantee you, if you choose to honor the Lord and obey Him, you will be attacked. But saints, in the midst of the most difficult trials of my life, after I have known that I have heard the voice of the Spirit and obeyed the will of God, some of the greatest attacks and trials of my life have been experienced. And you know what? I don't regret a one of them. Because it's in the midst of those things that God ministers to me in His will and says, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And He gives me strength and peace and joy in the midst of sorrow and tear. He gives me peace that passes understanding and joy unspeakable. Saints, I wouldn't give that up for anything. I've seen so many Christians' lives destroyed because they've never learned to hear the voice of the Spirit. I sought the leading of the Lord, the will of God for who I should marry, where I should live, where I go to church, where I should minister. And He's been faithful to lead me in all of those decisions. Saints, this is not just for preachers. It's not just for missionaries. It's for every child of God. Have you learned to recognize that leading of the Spirit? It's for everyone. Let's go to 1 Kings 19. Two more passages here before we close. We live in a society that demands everything to be instantaneous. But learning to be led by the Spirit takes time. To recognize the voice, it takes time to study the Bible. It takes time in prayer to say, Lord, I don't know Your will, but Your will is all I want. For me, for my loved ones. Whenever I try to figure things out, it just makes things worse. I need to be led by the Spirit. That takes time to do that, saints. It takes time in prayer. It takes time in godly counsel to learn to hear the voice of the Spirit. But we live in a society that everything has to be big and loud and exciting, and it has to be right now. And God's people have swallowed that marketing technique, hook, line, and sinker, and that's what church is all about today. It's got to be big, it's got to be loud, it's got to be exciting, and I want it now. And not 1 minute past noon, please. Do you really want the will of God? Do you want to be led by the Holy Spirit? I'm always impressed with this account in 1 Kings 19. We'll read verses 11 to 13. God was going to speak to his man, to Elijah the prophet. And he needed to be spoken to because he was out of the will of God. In verse 11 of 1 Kings 19, God speaking to Elijah, he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord." That was quite a wind. Now that was exciting. But the Lord was not in the wind. Now when it says that, the Lord brought it, the Lord caused it. The Lord was in it in that sense. But the leading of the Lord was not in that. That's not what he was going to use to speak to Elijah. The Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah? This is not where you're supposed to be. I've got several things I need you to do." He goes on in the passage to tell him what they were. But even though Elijah had a moment of weakness in his faith, I'm impressed by his ability to recognize the voice of God. In the midst of all the loud and impressive activities of fire and wind and earthquake and all of those things that would really impress the five senses, it was that quiet, nearly inaudible voice that God was going to lead. Thin, small voice, a sound. Most Christians today are looking for things that will tickle their ears, that will impress their five senses. But saints, I want to be able to hear the still small voice that will direct me into the will of God in every situation, in every circumstance, because this life is very quickly over. And when it's done, I want to sit in the throne with the one who died for me. In closing, in Isaiah 30, do you know that personal leading of the Holy Spirit? Those inaudible expressions of the will of God to your heart and to your mind that lead you into God's best. If you don't, saints, you can and you should. Isaiah 30, verse 21, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left." This is a prophecy concerning the remnant of Israel, that one day the Spirit will lead the remnant of Israel back to the will of God. But the same Spirit that will do that one day for the remnant is the same Spirit that is with you today as your helper, as your assistant, as your comforter, as your advocate. He will whisper in your heart and your mind, "This is the way, walk in it." The question you have to ask yourself, are you listening? Are you too busy? Are you too distracted by the tornadoes of life that could be trials? Or it could be whatever you feel is impressive. These great natural disasters, they are impressive, and we are impressed with a lot of things in life. Are you distracted, discouraged, or are you learning to listen Are you following His clear instruction in His Word? Are you spending time in prayer? I'll guarantee you, saints, you will never regret being led by the Spirit. But you will regret not listening to His voice. Let's have a song in closing. Wanda, if we would. Let's stand this morning. Bruce, do we have a song? Number 428 in the Green Hymnal. We're going to sing the first and last verses of 428. But before we do that, I want us to bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank You that You have taken the time to reveal and to record Your will for us. We are nothing more than specks of dust on Your universe. And yet the Almighty God, the All-Wise God, has loved us enough to send us His Son to redeem us, to reconcile us, but goes far beyond that, has made us partners in the work of grace, made us children, made us members of the body of Christ. Oh, we thank You for the privilege that is ours to be ambassadors for Christ. But Lord, You know each heart here this morning. You know all the many trials. You know the sorrows. You know the things that have bound Your children and have robbed them of the many benefits of being Your child. Lord, I pray that that same Spirit that we have been speaking about would bring liberty this morning, would bring deliverance, and that each of us here this morning would anew dedicate ourselves to You and to say, Heavenly Father, we want nothing but Your will for our lives and for our loved ones. Nothing. And Father, we don't know Your will apart from Your revelation in Your Word and apart from the personal leading of the Holy Spirit. So give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this song. The altars are open if you want to come and seek the Lord.